Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome into the NFL Front Office Show. I'm your host, Brian Hughes. Alongside me is my co-host, Mr. Norm Arendez. Norm, how you doing tonight? Sorry about that little technical difficulty. Once again, Norm, alongside me. Norm, how you doing tonight?
Doing great, my friend.
Well, the Super Bowl is over, and as the famous saying goes, there is really no off season when it comes to the NFL. Because sure, the games are no longer being played, but free agents are being evaluated, or potential free agents from their own team are being evaluated. Who could potentially get the franchise tag? What prospects are teams going to be looking at in the draft? And because of that, we did get a request that we go over free agency. So I'm going to start off by giving you some of the news from around the NFL in the last week. Greg Olsen, the recently cut tight end from the Carolina Panthers, is supposedly wrapping up his free agent visits this week, says he will announce a spot by next week. Interesting, he obviously wants to be off the market before guys like Hunter Henry and Hooper and these other free agent tight ends hit the market. Also, David Carr lays out four potential landing spots for Phillip Rivers. They're all potential spots that we named here on the show last week. Also, Jennifer King is the second coach now coaching in the NFL. She is a offensive assistant for the Redskins. Obviously, as everybody famously knows, Katie Sowers of San Francisco was the first female coach. So kudos to the ladies for breaking into the NFL coaching ranks. And finally, where we're going to start tonight's show, Norm, Utah State linebacker is restricted at the combine, meaning he can't participate in the combine over an assault that took place back in 2017. So I totally get you don't know probably anything about this, and neither does our audience. So just really quickly, I'm going to say, so this particular linebacker, his name is Tipa Galea out of Utah State. He will not be permitted to take part in any on-field drills or media interviews at the NFL Scouting Combine. This restriction was part of stems from a fight between two men, him and another man, from 2017, where he picked up an assault charge. I'm curious to see how you feel about this, Norm. You know, obviously, I get the NFL has a reputation, if you will, that, you know, they're trying to protect and they're trying to promote these young men to do the right thing. But at the same time, this is a business. And this is essentially a job interview. It's kind of like saying, hey, you know what? We'll potentially choose you for the position. We just don't want to interview you. Like, I find it weird when you're no longer in college athletics and you haven't had a transgression in the last 2.5 years and it's still being kind of held against you. It's kind of that amateur mentality, you know, like not wanting to pay college football players, even though they obviously make tons of money for the NCAA. So I saw this story, and this story is not just for this Tipo Galilea, the linebacker from Utah State. Every year there's a story like this. I'm just curious, what's your thoughts on these guys being given an opportunity to basically be on national television, be in front of all 32 teams, being able to kind of promote themselves if they're a small school or a big school prospect, and essentially getting that stripped from them because they had some kind of incident that took place, you know, let's just say for the better part of 3 years ago?
Yeah, what I find interesting, and you're right, I know nothing about this kid. I'm not big on watching college prospects other than the, maybe the top 50 that, you know, we all know by name. But what I think is interesting is you can dig up dirt or you can spin any kind of story against really any guy that's going to be at this combine. I mean, someone did something when they were 16, 17, and you can make a big old far-fetched deal about it, and then you can go through their search history or something they did on social media, and you could totally sabotage anybody you want. And so I find it interesting how there's no real transparency on how like the rules of what you can or can't do or where you draw the line. It's almost like the NFL just comes up with what they want to do when they want to do it, and it has lasting impacts on people. And you know, the one thing that comes to mind is you look at like the Tyreek Hill situation, you know, that he had with his girlfriend. And I'll be honest, as a Chiefs fan, I thought Tyreek was done. I thought he was done for the year. He wasn't going to play. And I mean, I think the Chiefs thought that too. That's why they drafted Mecole Hardman. I don't think they picked Hardman if they think Tyreek's going to be around. And it's interesting how the NFL stuck with Tyreek. I think it's because he's such an explosive player and he's important to the game. And I think, you know, I don't believe in conspiracies, but I think the NFL is really happy that Kansas City's on top. They're, you know, a big part of the NFL. They've been one of the early franchises, you know, good family history. And so I don't believe in conspiracies, but I do think that, you know, the NFL is a little partial to some teams or players, and I just think that's wrong. You're wronging a guy with a lot of talent who, like you said, has a job interview, and let him be on that stage. Let him show off his skill.
I'm going to tell you exactly how I feel, Norm, right after this, but we do have a caller calling in from the 770. Caller, welcome to the NFL Free-for-All. How are you doing tonight?
From Atlanta. How's everybody doing tonight?
Hey, Matt, how you doing,
good,
man? No overtime, but your Chiefs pick did come through for the Super Bowl, so I did want to give you a little bit of praise on that. If you want to throw a quick shout-out, you're welcome to, but what we're talking about right now is not necessarily the player, but there's a story in the NFL about this kid, a linebacker, promising linebacker from Utah State, and how he had an assault that took place. There was a fight between him and one other man. There was no women involved. There was no battery. There was nothing. Just two guys got into a fight. He got the better of the other guy and got an assault charge. And this was back in 2017. And now 3 years later, when he's ready to become draft eligible, the scouting combine is saying, hey, look, no, you're not eligible to come here. You can't interview. You can't do medicals. You can't talk to people. You can't run drills. And so we're just discussing, you know, do you agree or disagree with that ruling? Why or why not? And what is your thoughts on somebody essentially these guys being kids, you know, making a mistake, and then, you know, it's still kind of being held over their heads, you know, 2-3 years later?
That's very interesting. For some reason, the thing that comes in my head right away is Aaron Hernandez. Now it was a little, obviously a different situation. He had gotten in trouble in Florida for a bar fight. I think he hit some guy working at a bar, and that was kind of, you know, cleaned up. It was not really made public, but it came out and he ended up, you know, having all those issues. So I think that was a red flag for that Utah State guy. And it's unfortunate because it was probably an isolated incident. You know, I'm sure he's not going to turn out to be another Aaron Hernandez. That was probably a once-in-a-lifetime thing. But I think I think he should get. They should be able to get a second chance. Seems like the Patriots always let people come in, no matter what they did. So who knows if down the line he'll be allowed back in? But yeah, it's kind of unfortunate for the guy trying to make a career in football that, you know, one little thing 3 years ago could affect whether, you know, he makes it as a football player.
Here's my thoughts, guys, and I know this is probably not going to be very popular amongst the ladies, amongst the children, amongst the NFL aficionados, but the way I look at this is, let's keep it 100% honest here. This is a business interview. These young men, and we're talking about young men, we're talking about kids between the ages of 19 and 23, who have an opportunity to become multimillionaires, essentially, if they perform well in this interview process. And I'm just very much against any type of, whether you want to call it government control or NFL control or the NCAA, I'm against the NCAA saying kids can't make money. Well, you don't have a problem when you're using these kids' names to sell millions and millions of dollars worth of merchandise. And I'm not trying to get too far off track, but it's like, you know what? Give all 32 teams the ability to mix and mingle with these players, and maybe you'll have a whole lot less Aaron Hernandez's to get into the NFL. Because let's be honest, who's really being hurt by an uber-athletic player not being able to go and sit down with all 32 teams and not be interviewed and not be measured comparably right alongside everybody else? It's the teams. Because the teams are the ones that are there to evaluate talent, and if that talent is not there, if I'm watching Utah State play Appalachian State, do I really get an apples for apples type comparison? I don't think you do. So my issue is, you know what? These kids are no longer amateurs. Essentially, in my opinion, the moment they declare for the NFL draft, they're professionals. You hire an agent, you basically renounce being able to, you're going to turn pro, and we'll save it for another show, but I do believe they should be able to go back kind of like they do in baseball if they're not drafted where they wanted to go, or if they end up going undrafted so they can get their degree, but that's for a whole nother show. But I do believe these guys are pros now. They have agents, they have monetary investments that are going in and out. They get endorsement deals. Like, these guys teams need to have the ability to get medical reports, to interview these guys, to get to know these guys, to see how they compare on the field against the other top athletes in the class. You're doing the NFL a disservice when you are the NFL and you say, you know what, we're not taking these 10 players because they made a bad mistake 3 years ago. I mean,
well,
let's
I got a
be honest,
for you, Brian.
And I'm going to get right to you, Matt. But let's be honest. There is not one person here in this room right now at this round table that can honestly say between the ages of 19 and 23 that you didn't make a mistake that would have been worthy of not being invited to the combine. The only difference is that we didn't get caught. And I'm just keeping it real. Everybody makes dumb mistakes as kids, and you know what? You learn from those mistakes and you grow up. Go ahead, Matt, shoot.
Well, no, it was me. I was, you know, I mean, I myself
oh, go,
at
I'm
19
sorry. Go
years
ahead,
old.
Norm.
Yeah, I myself at 19 years old got in a fight and I beat the hell out of a guy and I spent 6.5 months in jail myself. And it impacted some things I had to do in my life. I mean, here I am. I finally landed a good job, you know. I've had a good job. I landed a good job with a good company. I finally had a chance, but it took time for that to clear out. And that's the unfortunate thing is these guys, they don't have time. You have a very small window.
Well, I have a question for you. Hold on real quick, Norm, because you're the perfect person to ask this to, because you've opened up and you've already stated that you kind of went through what these guys go through. Mm-hmm. Were you the same guy at 19 or 20 as you were at 23 or 24.
Oh, no. No, way different. It'd be a huge maturity process.
And that's why okay. I have a – you know, I can understand if somebody's a repeat offender, if they failed, like, 9 drug tests. But this kid got into a fight in 2017, guys. 2017, police report says one-on-one. Obviously, he got the better of the other guy, got assault. There was no battery. There was no weapon. There was nothing else involved. And now this kid can't go to the combine. And all I'm saying is there's probably not a guy that's at the combine that hasn't been into a fight. There's probably not one guy, because if you've got that much testosterone flowing and if you're that much of a competitor, you're probably not going to back down from a challenge. And all I'm saying is, I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's wrong. All I'm saying is, you know what? I think the NFL needs to revisit this policy and say, hey, you know what? Are we really doing ourselves a disservice, or are we doing these players a disservice? Because I got to be honest with you, half the time, I don't even know what the NFL stands for anymore. You know, like, I understand that you want these guys to be role models, but you know what? I can tell you right now, I've got many children. I've got 4. I don't want you to think I have a whole orphanage. I've got 4 children, and all 4 of my kids watch sports, and not one of my kids, you know, saw Ray Rice, for example, hit his girlfriend and thought to himself, hey, I'm now going to go hit a girlfriend. That's up to the parents to teach their children to act responsibly. It is not up to the professional athletes to moderate the way that your child is to act. Now, you know what? Yes, they're professional athletes. Kids are going to want to emulate them. They're going to want to be like them. But you know what? You also, as parents, need to be plugged in and involved and realize that these people that your kids are idolizing are kids themselves, guys. These guys are 19, 20, 21. Abobi Okoye, the kid, the Haitian kid that came out, that went to the Texans. He was 19 years old when he was drafted. 19 years old playing in the NFL, a first round pick. So all I'm saying is these guys are often younger than the people that idolize them. You know, they're bound to make mistakes. But I do got one more chef I want to bring into the building. I'm sure he's got some interesting thoughts on this subject. So without any further ado, Mr. TP Timeless, how you doing tonight?
I took off the blazer, loosened up the tie. I didn't catch too much of the conversation, so I'm trying to figure out where this is going, like what happened. So I was listening, but you brought me right in, though.
Well, you know how we do it, but you know, so we were basically talking about. So in the NFL news this week, there's a linebacker from Utah State. I don't know if you saw it. His name is Tipa Galilea. He got an assault charge for getting into a fight back in 2017. 2 men, and apparently he beat both of them up. So I guess it was 2 men versus him. 2 men beat them up, got an assault charge, and now here it is. Fast forward to 2020, and the NFL renounced his ability to go to the scouting combine to promote himself. You know, he's declared for the draft. And I just, you know, my personal opinion, Ty, is, and I've kind of said it to these guys, is I feel like the only people that this hurts is the NFL. This is the reason why you get rotten eggs into the NFL, because you know what? It'd be really easy for teams that are able to sit down and really get to know these guys. You know, which ones of these guys, you know, had an incident, and which one of these guys are going to have multiple incidents? And I feel like the NFL does a really bad job of rather than addressing the situation head on. I feel like they always take the road most traveled, you know, trying to appease, you know, these political parties, these feminist groups, about, hey, I don't have a problem stating my opinion, but trying to appease the masses. And what I'm saying is, I don't care if the guy has 9 assault charges. I don't care if he's been hammered for pot smoking 35 times. It's a job interview, right, Ty? Above anything else, it's a job interview. And how do you have a job interview if you can't interview for the job?
This is tough, Rod, because you want to know something? The NFL has a bad mask on as it is, right? And I know it's going to get hot in the kitchen because this actually surrounds you right now. You know what I'm saying? And I don't care how people take it, right? I feel bad for the young man because he defended himself. What is he supposed to do? Read the rule book at that point in time in 2017. Don't fight. Don't get into an altercation. Even if they punking you or doing whatever they do, you just stand still and let them pour drinks on you, spit in your face, and do what you're supposed to do. And he defended himself and did it to the point where these guys are laid out. He didn't kill anybody. He didn't spend heavy time in jail, so on and so forth. Man, it's ridiculous that this is the mantra that's carried. And then, next, you know, after the action is done, it's like, oh, well, you could have did it this way. You could have did it that way. It's like, no, don't put that situation up, because in any male or any person, I don't even want to just put a male or female, any person in that situation would have did the same exact thing he would have did. I'm going to say this quickly so you can get back to the show, though. There was a situation where my cousin had gotten into a domestic dispute, right? And the cops came. They came, but they couldn't find my cousin. My cousin actually came to my house to turn himself in. So I brought him to the police station, and they took him so they could do the questioning or whatever. My cousin said, hold my phone so you could tell them everything that happened, right? So I'm holding the phone, but before I start talking to the police officer, I said, Police Officer A, I still remember it's Officer O'Brien or whatever, but Officer A, I'm like, what if you, because I'm in Connecticut, I'm like, what if you were in the middle of Maryland on vacation with your wife, and you know heavy-handed women? I said, picture if a heavy-handed woman slapped your wife real hard and put her on the ground, almost knocked her out. What would you do? Would you push her away, or would you just pick your wife up and go somewhere? He said, I would have been arrested. I'm like, look, and you're the law, and you're telling me that. So this is a situation that could happen at any point in time. And then looking at the NFL and the cricket, like, about the Kaepernick situation, it's like, if a guy has talent, you hold it against him because of what he chose to do. You know what I'm saying? And this is where the NFL has these black eyes on their face right now. So it's like the NFL is they're walking a fine line, and they're losing fans on both sides of the spectrum, whether people like it or not.
All right, well, I appreciate your viewpoint. I will say, Ty, I do personally think the Kaepernick situation is a little different. You know, we don't see eye to eye per se on that one. I feel like Kaepernick kind of ran his course, and I don't think he would have been a starting quarterback regardless. That's my opinion. But we do have another chef in the building. One more came on in, Mr. Nas. How you doing tonight?
Well, first of all, understand, you guys are wrong. I live my life by one mantra. What would Charles Oakley do? So in that case, yes, beat up fans, beat up every, no, I'm just joking, man. I'm just joking. Now, this interesting conversation. What up, Ty? What up?
Hey, Brian? I thought you were gonna say Meta World Peace, but that was after he calmed down. So I understand why you went with Oakley.
Right, because Oakley, there's no room for like to be like, no, Oakley's a night. Nah, Oakley pretty much you gonna put hands on him. So I just figured I'd throw
so
that
now
in.
Did you,
but no,
did you hear? Nah, did you hear what we were talking about? Did you hear the scenario that got dropped on NFL.com here this last week?
Yeah. So here's the thing though, when you're talking about the NFL, during a certain period, Roger Goodell comes in on his horse. They see him as Sheriff Roger. He's going to clean up the behavior in the NFL. This was when social media first started blowing up. This is when people had access in a way to what athletes do off the field that we've never had before. And the overreaction from fans, and this is where this gets dicey, because you have to call out the fans in this sense. This is where it gets dicey. The fan base loves their team but hates and is really jealous of a lot of the players. So that's where you get all this stuff. Oh, it's playing is a privilege, not a right, and then, you know, all this other stuff. That comes from a lot of that animosity. So with that animosity in tow, what do you have? The league says, okay, we got to crack down on things. We have to let them know that we're in control and these players aren't just running roughshod across the country. Because what? These are, you know, multimillionaires, working class people buy the tickets to watch the games. And that jealousy and envy and anger against the players it's something that the NFL has to massage. How do you do it? This is what they came up with, the Roger way. Problem is, the NFL is not qualified to handle things like this. That's why we have courts. That's why we have lawyers. That's why we have laws. They're qualified to handle things like that. So that's why the NFL fumbles it every time they try to address it. They either overpunish or underpunish, and they end up apologizing afterwards and then having a PR nightmare for a week until it gets worked out in the news cycle. So this is not something that's easily understood or easily, you know, taken care of, but they're going to continue to have these problems because they don't know how to keep their base satisfied as far as the players, I mean the fans, but also to make sure that what? They are punishing players for conduct that they feel like is detrimental to their brand. So it's a really tough dilemma, man. And Rogers just not doing that, as we've seen.
I definitely appreciate your sentiment there. I'm going to come back over to you, Norm, my co-host. You heard everybody's kind of thoughts on this. I kind of think it's crazy in the 21st century that we can't adjudicate things just using common sense. Like, I would be surprised that the five people that are you know, in this queue tonight talking about sports, if 90% of the situations that came up in the NFL, if we wouldn't be able to universally agree, you know, yes, suspend, don't suspend, kick out, you know, whatever. Like, it always baffles me, you know, that one person that smoked weed will get suspended for, you know, an entire season, and, you know, somebody else that slapped his wife gets, you know, a one-game suspension. So, Norm, I'll come over to you. I know this has kind of blew up a lot bigger than it originally started, but, you know, as far as what Nas was saying, as far as, you know, Roger and the NFL kind of trying to, you know, promote that certain image. Like, do you feel like they've gone too far the other way now?
Yeah, well, no, that was a perfect analogy he gave of it all. And what it comes down to is, you know, everyone watching, the people that watch it say, hey, that guy, just shut up and turn your TV off then if you don't like it. Because that's the way sports really are. Obviously, you don't know anything about it if you're looking at it like that. But that's the problem. Every time they turn the TV off, that's money. And so the money is what drives it all. And that's why the league's trying to appeal. That's why they want more passing plays. They don't like boring 10-3 battles. They want 44-45 because it's entertaining. And so that's the whole problem. That's why, you know, like they said, they don't really have a layout. They're still trying to figure it out. But let's get down to the chase of it all. So this inside linebacker, is that what he is, inside backer? If he were allowed to go – so if you allowed him into the combine, blah, 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 where would he get drafted in your estimation, Brian? I know nothing about the kid. Where do you think he'd fall?
They're saying he's a mid to late round prospect. So let's just say –
okay, so let's go with
for
that.
For argument's sake, let's say he's a fifth round prospect. But now that he's not going to go, he's probably going to go undrafted. And he's already declared.
Well, that's the whole – my whole thing is what – my whole thing is how much money – and again, it's probably significant, but – if you're a fifth round draft pick, and what do you, I think you get like a maximum 3 year, the matching is I think a 3 or 4 year deal. I think it's three.
Well,
that late in the round.
It's the guarantee.
Or if you go on,
it's the guarantee money.
It's the guarantee.
It's the guarantee because when you're
but,
an undrafted free agent, you have no guaranteed contract.
Correct. So let's just say he's guaranteed $3 million if you go mid round. Well. Yeah, that's $3 million. That could change his life. But at the same time, he's still going to have to, like, if he wants to make a career and get a bigger one, he's going to have to work for it. As an undrafted, someone's probably going to pick him up, and they're going to get him on a cheap for quite a few years. And if he's going to get his shot and do it, he'll get his money. It's just he's going to have to go the long way. And it is unfortunate they punished him for something that happened 2 years ago. But at the end of the day, he's still a long shot of hitting big payday.
Oh, I get it. And before we move off this topic, I'm going to give everybody one last, you know, crack at this before we get into our real topic for the evening. Matt, I appreciate you patiently holding. Man, you got any final thoughts on, you know, just what you've heard, kind of the NFL, the way they dole out punishment, you know, if you want to say it's good, bad, and different, or if you have a way to fix the problem?
It's very inconsistent. You brought up the marijuana. I think Josh Gordon is pretty much no longer playing football because of the drug marijuana, which is absolutely insane to me. If anything, it can be used for pain management. It's been proven. Hopefully these policies will change. They need to be changed. I mean, would you rather have your guys hooked on opioids or pot? I mean, it's just retarded. It's really got to get fixed. I hope that the Utah State guy gets another chance. I'll be rooting for him.
Appreciate that, Matt. Ty, I'm going to come over to you. I think Matt brings up a good point in that, you know, one of the things that's really not talked a lot about is, you know, there's a federal statute that basically makes smoking marijuana legal, but then you go to certain states like California and it's not legal. You know, that's basically, I'm not going to say that's what happened to Gordon, but that's kind of what happened. It may be legal, but it wasn't legal in the NFL. Like, how do you view that in comparison to some of these other crimes that guys get 2-3 games? I mean, we've seen some cheap shots on the knees where, you know, a guy will get, you know, a 2-game suspension and he was out for the year.
Oh, believe me, there's plenty of blemishes on the NFL, and you took me out before I could say it. I wasn't comparing Colin Kaepernick's situation to this. It was just that what the NFL chooses to defend so they can keep their brand polished well.
Yeah.
Brian, you know me well, and my favorite player, or one of my favorite players of all time, went through the same scenario that this kid is going through, where this kid may not get drafted, and it's tough for me because I have to look at it in the same light. Because when I heard about one of my favorite players at this point in time, I wasn't aware of him in college because of what he went through. And if people don't know who I'm talking about Randy Moss. So when Randy Moss came out of high school or whatever, he got into a fight, into a racial situation, knocked the kid out or jumped into the kid or something. They took his scholarship away from him in Notre Dame. Florida State didn't want to touch him. He ended up going to Marshall. I didn't know nothing about him until he got to the league. And then he was supposed to be a top pick. And then Jerry Jones is telling him he's coming to Dallas. Deion Sanders said he was coming to Dallas. None of that happened. He ended up going to Minnesota. And then we know the Hall of Fame career of the Freak, a.k.a. Moss. Now, this kid could end up being similar to what Randy Moss is. If he has that hunger in his stomach. I'm not going to say that he doesn't have Hall of Fame potential because I don't know too much about him, but I hope he does, because this will be the same story, and it will be like, why do the NFL organizations follow the rule book, if you will, instead of letting people be people?
All right, I appreciate that, and I'm going to give Nas the last word on this one, guys, and then we're going to get into the heart of our discussion tonight. Nas, you've heard what everybody else has kind of said. I really liked your analogy when you came on in. But any final thoughts on, anything to do with the way the NFL doles out punishment, the way that the NFL does not allow, you know, these youngsters to kind of participate in that job interview, anything like that?
Yeah, well, let's go back to what we were talking about before. This is a labor issue no matter what. And essentially, when you look at the NHL and the MLB and the rights that they've secured, their ability to do drugs and other things and be lightly tested or tested in a way where people won't get banged up for the most part, that's what you're looking at here. The NFL has a control issue. They want to control the players in a way that other leagues do not, and the players don't have the leverage to push back when it comes to negotiations. So that's why you see this over-punishing, this really restrictive, ridiculous, like, old concept. Like, the career of Josh Gordon was ruined based on an addiction to marijuana. You know how many hockey players are addicted to cocaine and were able to play for years, MLB, all these other things? Because when it comes down to it, that's a personal thing that you fix through a rehab center, not through the person missing game check. So, again, when you see a player not being allowed to go to the combine and not be interviewed, that's about, as the homie used to say, an open box special. Now you can pay him less for longer years, and he's going to have to do a whole lot before you have to invest any substantial money into him. So it's a negotiating tactic to a degree. Think about Tyreek Hill and how little money he's made for what he's produced. Why? Because he had a domestic violence issue, so he dropped down in the draft, and they got an open box special. How many of y'all bought a TV in the last few years? That was an open box special. It felt good, didn't it? Got that TV for the low. And that's what you see the NFL doing. This is how they negotiate.
Hey Nas, I got a question for you, man. I got to ask you this. I'm listening to your answer, and I think you'd be the perfect guy to answer. In this day and age, right, of sports, where sports is a multi-billion dollar industry, you mentioned it. Look at the NHL. You go into the draft, you don't like where you're drafted, you can go back to college. Baseball, I don't like where I'm drafted, or I don't like the team I'm drafted by, I'm going back to college. Why is the NFL the biggest sports conglomerate on the planet? Why have the players not pushed harder to get more control in that aspect so that they are not basically under the thumb? So if they come out early, there's all these kids that come out early every single year, juniors, redshirt sophomores that go undrafted and have no recourse to go back to school.
Yeah, good question. And I'll answer it this way. Think about it. How long is an NFL career? Shortest, you know, career span for any of the major sports. Therefore, it's hard for you to survive a labor strike because it's hard to keep the players to stay on the other side and say, hey, we're going to win this negotiation, because guys are thinking about, hey, man, I only got 3 years possibly. I got to be out here. We need to get checks. So because of that leverage, you know, issue there, college is treated like their farm system. And because they've got a free farm system, where else do you go? You want to play professional football? Until last week, there was only one place you could go. And we still don't know if that new place is viable. But, yeah, we're still getting back to labor, and we're getting back to your inability to negotiate.
I will tell you guys one last final thought before I move on. I do find it kind of ironic that in this day and age where there's so much attention on opioids, drugs, domestic violence, all these other things, that as opposed to this being the National Football League, where it's a unity thing like they always say it is, and embracing people like Josh Gordon that has a drug addiction problem and bringing him in closer, the NFL's solution to everything is just to shun and ban. And I think that they need to take a hard look in the mirror and realize it doesn't matter how much money you have or how talented of a scout or an evaluator you are. Bottom line is, I'm paying dollars to see the athletic freaks on the field. And you need to be helping these young men become the best young men that they can be. But I do want to move on to our next topic, and this is kind of the heart of the show. We got about 25 minutes left. Norm, I got a couple messages, and basically they were all asking for the same thing. And that was to talk about the draft needs of the AFC West. As you know, out here in California, the AFC West is pretty popular. I had several people bring up the Raiders. I even had one person asking about the Chiefs. Hey, the Chiefs are, you know, pretty much unstoppable right now. So with that said, you know, what could they possibly need? So with that said, I'm going to come to you first as the resident Chiefs fan. I've heard, you know, they could use some O-line help. I've heard that they could use a linebacker. I've heard, you know, that they could use a corner. And I've even heard, as odd as it may sound, that they could really use a first-round running back. But I'll come to you as the resident Chief expert. Where do you see the biggest needs on the Chiefs, and what do you think it's going to take to kind of put them over the top?
They need – if they want to go over the top, the one thing they're really missing the most is they need like a Bobby Wagner in the middle. They need a stud linebacker that can fill a hole like Derek Johnson used to. They just haven't had that. Reggie Ragland, you know, I don't think he's going to be there next year. He was a run thumper that's never really lived up to his capability, but he's too slow in coverage. Then they try to mix in, you know, different packages to get, you know, a safety-like linebacker in there, and then he gets abused by the big run blockers. So – If they're able to score through the draft a stud linebacker, but drafting as late as they are, I don't know if that's going to be available to them. So, I mean, if you know, and then the other thing with the Chiefs is that cornerback, you know, I think Bashaud Breeland, you know, has earned a paycheck. He's going to sign a contract somewhere, and I just don't think KC's going to pay it. I think maybe – and then even Kendall Fuller, I think he's a free agent. So, just like that, Kansas City's cornerback situation was not bad last year. It could be real thin real quick. And then the third situation is, yeah, their O-line is very good, but they're spending a lot of money on it. And I think they need to look for cheaper options, especially at the guard position. And, even Schwartz, as great as he is, and Fisher has been serviceable, where are they at in 2 years from now? They're not going to be as good as they are now, and they have a very expensive contract. So, yeah, those are the needs. I'd go linebacker, cornerback, O-line. Those are the needs I'd go after.
Yeah, no, and I think that those are all really good points, Norm. I did want to point out before I threw this over to Matt, so the 2020 salary caps, if you look at the AFC West, clearly there's two teams that have a boatload of money, and then there's two teams that have a little less. So you look at the Broncos and the Raiders. The Broncos have over $60 million in cap space. The Raiders have over $50 million. And actually, to be quite honest, the Chargers aren't doing too bad either at about 45. The Chiefs only have about $13 million. Now, granted, they are the Super Bowl champs, and they've done a fantastic job, but I think most of their work is going to have to come via the draft. And I know they're going to lose some key members like you mentioned, Bashaun Breeland. They have some holes potentially on the offensive line, but Matt, I wanted to come back over to you. Kansas City, I know you've watched them. You watched them in the Super Bowl. Very dominant team, but if there was a hole, where do you see this team needing to go this offseason? What positions do they need to address?
I would definitely say offensive line, judging a little bit off the Super Bowl. For the first three quarters, I want to say San Francisco pushed them around for the most part. And it was kind of a late rally where they were able to hold together, and a couple broken down plays went their way. But you can start with the offensive line. I would have to rewatch the tape to tell you exactly, if they need a center or a tackler. But definitely offensive line. Defensively, they look pretty good. Maybe some secondary help, maybe a little bit. But overall, they seem to hold up. Tyrann Mathieu played really well. But maybe somebody, maybe a young corner or something, they could probably use that. But other than that, they're the champs. It's really hard to even tweak them too much. Now, naturally, there's going to be guys moving on, and there's going to be new guys. So it'll be interesting to see how the Chiefs turn out next year.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And I definitely think that the one thing, if you want to say the one disadvantage that the Chiefs have, is that financially they're not in a really good spot like we just talked about. They actually have several players that are starters slash, major contributors, like Bashaun Breeland, corner, Kendall Fuller, Chris Jones, who's an absolute menace on the defensive line. These are all guys that I really think DeMarcus Robinson, I really think they're going to want to re-sign these guys. I just don't know if they're going to be able to, because I honestly believe Chris Jones is going to want top five D lineman money. I mean, he's probably going to shoot for Aaron Donald money. He's probably not going to get that, but I mean, I think you could make the case that he's probably a top five interior defensive lineman. And with them only having $13 million, it's really going to come down to, are they going to get creative with guys like Sammy Watkins, who's owed $11 million? Do they just release him outright? Because I think, and Norm, I'm going to kick this back to you for a half second here before we go back to Ty, but I think, when you look at wide receiver, I'd feel much more comfortable with, with DeMarcus Robinson, with Nicole Hardman, and Tyreek Hill minus Watkins, but being able to keep Chris Jones, to me, he's kind of the emotional leader on defense. Am I reading that correctly?
Yeah, he is. I'll sum it up. Sammy Watkins is going to get cut. I'm just going to let that go, because that's $12 million you save. I think Rashad Breeland and Kendall Fuller, they get money elsewhere, and I think they tag Jones, and I think they ultimately trade him, though, just like they did the Dee Ford last year, and it hurts.
Wow.
Because he's a big piece of what they do. But they just don't have the money, and so why not get something for them, right?
Yeah.
So that's unfortunately what I think is going to happen.
All right, that's a great point.
TP Timeless, I'm going to come over to you. We're just talking about the Kansas City Chiefs. I named off a couple of the guys. When you look at this division, every team in this division has over $40 million in cap space, except the Chiefs. They're at $13 million. They're in the bottom 10. And they have some big-name guys that need to be re-signed, like a Chris Jones, Breshad Breeland, Kendall Fuller. I mean, they have starters that need to be re-signed. Where do you see this team going this offseason, and a guy like Jones, do you see them being able to keep him? Do they get creative with the cap in order to keep him, or do you think they just let him go?
If anything, they have to stick to their guns defensively. Like, this is the one thing that I'm like, you know, you can't make them perfect because then this will look like the 1990 or the later 90 of the New York Yankees. And it's like, at least they got to have some chicken armor. That Yankee team didn't have any chicken armor. It was hard to beat them. So it's like, if you tweak this Chiefs team even better, how are you going to beat them? So if anything, I think they need to concentrate on is their linebacking core. Like, they were getting beat soundly in the run game. Like, the running game was attacking them. They couldn't fix it. And even Honey Badger said it. Tyrann Mathieu was like, listen, thank God they stopped running the ball. So it's like, if they have linebackers that can stick to their guns, stay home and plug holes so these guys can't, you know, pick up 4 to 5 to 7 yards a clip, that'll make Kansas City even more scarier. So I think defensively, if they can get to that front seven, and I don't know if they're going to stick to Suggs, I doubt it, but I mean, Suggs has, I want to say experience in the postseason and things like that, but if they can actually tweak that front seven defensively, that's what they need to fix. Other than that, I mean, their offensive line has done a stout job at keeping Mahomes clean. Mahomes got hurt because he was scrambling and diving, you know, so I don't really think they need to do anything offensively. I think if you could just fix that front seven, they might run the table.
No, you got to, and I think you bring up a really good point. I think the linebackers is a big thing because, you know, one of the stats that I looked up, you know, I'm a big stat guy. They rank dead last in the NFL covering the running back out of the backfield. And Ty, as you know, typically that responsibility will fall on the linebackers. So I definitely think that that's an area that they definitely need to address. Moving on, guys, because we do have limited time here, I want to talk about the Raiders. Now, I think the Raiders, despite what most people will probably think, I think the Raiders are in fantastic shape. This is a great free agent class. They've got $55 million in money that they're able to spend. But if you look at the quote-unquote big-name free agents that they have, I mean, you're talking about, like, Darrell Worley, a corner, you know, Carl Joseph, who's very old, you know, Vontaze Burfict, Mike McGlinnon. I mean, there's no name that jumps out at you like, oh, man, we need to keep this guy. Now, I know that they swung for the fences last offseason and tried to get themselves a number one receiver with Antonio Brown. I definitely think the Raiders still need a wide receiver, a number one, a legit top-end wide receiver. But, Norm, where you played them twice a year, I think it's also very fair to say that the Raiders, outside of defensive end, I think they did wonderful with you know, Clelin Ferrell and Max Crosby. But I think defensive tackle, linebacker, and even secondary, I think they could use help anywhere on the defensive side. Their defense looked absolutely pitiful last year.
Yeah, they, I have the Raiders down as their two biggest needs is, one, I don't think Carr's the guy, and I don't think Gruden thinks Carr's the guy. But you know, if you drop him now, it's $12 million in dead money, and we'll see what happens there. But I wouldn't be surprised if they made a move on quarterback with, not an aging veteran, but someone in the middle there. And then I have them at secondary, you know. Their secondary, yeah, like you said, the couple guys that jumped to mind are the aging veterans, and it's just not going to get it done. And Mayock being that the GM over there, you know, I think he's pretty good at scouting out talent. That was an interesting move when Gruden wanted him as the GM. And I think that the Raiders are going to continue to draft smart. And if you look at the draft class last year, Every guy they drafted, I think, contributed, maybe in a small way, but they have a big picture scenario going here. And so I expect them to keep going good picks in the draft, but I think definitely the secondary is where they could use the most help.
All right, Matt, I'm going to come over to you. I got the Raiders' needs as linebackers, plural, corners, plural. Remember, they traded away their former first overall pick, Conley. So, and then like I mentioned to you, I still feel like they need a number one receiver. But what do you see as the Raiders' biggest needs? You know, Norm's still not sold on the signal caller. What's your thoughts?
I think they could use an offensive lineman, even though it was greatly improved this year. I still think they could use one or two. But, yeah, you're right about the secondary. They were getting torched. Happened quite a bit. So they need help with the secondary. I think it's going to be really, really crazy that the games are in Vegas. This is going to be huge home field advantage. If you guys remember the Vegas Golden Knights, their first expansion year, there is definitely something called as a Vegas flu. We've all experienced it. I think if you've been to Vegas, you almost feel like you're sick if you stay up and gamble at night. It's a weird feeling. Well, this happens to pro athletes all the time. So I think Vegas could be looking at going 7-1 or 8-0 at home this year. It's going to be epic.
Ty, I'm going to come over to you, and I'm going to let you double-switch in on this. Tell me what you think about the Raiders. They're in pretty good spot financially. Like I said, with the $55 million. And then after that, let's also start to dive into the Chargers. The Chargers are interesting because I feel like every year we talk about them needing offensive line, but I think this is the first year we can say there might be a bigger need, and that's quarterback.
First and foremost, with the Raiders, I'm going to do this quickly. I agree with you, Brian. It's just in the middle half of that defense. It's the corners and that linebacking core. Their safeties are fine. They have a good safety core for that Raiders team. Their front four, too, they can present pressure and get to the quarterback, too. It was just that their linebackers were non-existent. They lost a lot of their games with the running back going crazy or the responsibilities for them to pick up people off of that line. So, and their corners were just giving up big plays, and that's how they lost some of these games. I hate to be tough, but Carr is the problem. And I'm gonna be blunt, and this is the same way I look at Detroit. Detroit's situation is with Stafford, too. As big as these guys' names are, as much as money they're pulling in, they are not the quality that they need. And they might have to start looking for somebody to be behind Carr so when they get ready to transition, it's not like they're far off. Like, they can have that guy that's waiting in the wing right now. So they need to get a quarterback because they have an offense. They were making plays downfield. They have a quality of tight end in Waller, a receiving core. Jacobs is a good little running back as well. Derek, I don't even know how much I could say about Carr, you know, costing them games. So that's one. And the Chargers situation, I can't believe that they finally agreed to part ways. So Rivers is no longer a part of the Chargers. So they're going to have to go quarterback immediately and fix this on the fly, at least for now. Their defense was hurt all season long, so I don't really put too much blame on their defense. Right now, their offense is taking a significant hit with the quarterback being gone and nobody really behind them to succeed them.
And I'll tell you, it's funny, man, because like I said, be the Broncos, the Raiders, or the Chargers, I mean, all three of these teams have $50-plus million. I mean, they have plenty of money to go out. And when you look at some of the free agent wideouts out there, you know, maybe not the name of the future, but you do have guys out there, you know, like an A.J. Green, like, you know, a Robbie Anderson. I mean, these guys are proven veterans that could definitely help the Raiders, could definitely help the Chargers, could definitely help the Broncos. You know, every team in this division, I kind of feel like these teams are going to be battling each other for these positions. I agree with you, Ty. I don't think there's any question in my mind that the Chargers are now full-blown into rebuild mode. I actually, everybody keeps saying, you know, Brady, Breeze, all these established guys. Number one, if I'm Brady or Breeze, there's no way I'm going there.
because their offensive line might be worse than what they currently have. But number two, I honestly believe that they're in rebuild mode now. I wouldn't go to the Chargers because they failed to address the offensive line in like the last 7 or 8 years that Phillip Rivers has been there. They've always had a horrible offensive line, and Phillip Rivers is leaving, and guess what? They still have a horrible offensive line. I think O-line and quarterback, I don't even think it's close. But, Norm, I'm going to throw it over to you. Chargers, O-line, QB, you also agree?
Yeah, I have them at O-line, QB, and then I think maybe cornerback. Even though they have what looks like a good secondary. I mean, obviously, Derwin James solidifies the back end. And but I think what's his name, Casey Hayward. He had a good season 2 years ago, and everyone lit up about him. And this last year, he was mediocre, and I think he's gonna have a big drop off. So what may look like strength on paper in their secondary now could end up hurting them next year if they don't address it.
And the other thing you got to think of, guys, is when you play a team in your division like KC that rolls out, you know, almost on every play at least 3 wide receivers, sometimes 4 wide receivers. You need at least 3 good cover corners. So even if they believe Hayward's going to bounce back, I agree with you. Corner is definitely a need. The Chargers have tried to address the corner position. I just don't think that they've had anyone that's hit at that position. So, Matt, I'm going to give you a quick second here to tell us if you agree with us on the Chargers as far as their needs or if you have a different need for them.
Well, I got to agree with Ty about the defense. They were hurt, so the jury's still out on them. But just general, obviously, quarterback, offensive tackle. You're going to need an interior offensive lineman, a running back, a tight end, and then maybe on defense, a linebacker and a defensive lineman.
Well, let's address the last team in this division, guys, before we close up shop here tonight, and that is the Denver Broncos. The Denver Broncos, in my opinion, this is the point of the show where you sing, "Oh, how the mighty have fallen." It wasn't that long ago when this defense was essentially a Super Bowl caliber defense that basically drug Peyton Manning to a second Super Bowl. And now you look at this defense, and I honestly believe they need help on all 3 levels. You know, there's a lot of chatter that Von Miller is going to be traded this offseason. I could definitely see that with how much money he costs in comparison to where this team is at. Chris Harris is still performing at a Pro Bowl level, but I don't think they're going to re-sign him. He's been trying to get a new contract for a couple of years. Aqib Talib left the year before, so their corners are young and unproven. They do have 2 really, really good safeties, but Justin Simmons, the free safety, is actually a free agent. I think they'll prioritize him. But I definitely think that they could use some linebacker help as well. But I'm going to give you one that's maybe a little more subtle. I really feel like they need a wide receiver. I know they traded Emmanuel Sanders to the 49ers. They have Noah Fant. You know, Drew Locke started to look better at the end of the season. But Cortland Sutton, to me, is more of that number one big body type guy. They need like a Henry Ruggs, a Robbie Anderson, a Tyreek Hill, a Nicole Hardman. They need a burner that can really open up this defense. And I just don't think they currently have that. Norm, what's your thoughts on the Denver Broncos?
Yeah, I have their needs listed at QB. Wide receiver, and you could almost say slash tight end. They could use a good fast playmaking tight end, but QB, wide receiver, and then linebacker. And I also put note, they need to replace John Elway. I don't know how they're going to get rid of him because I know he's the big part of what they've done, but I just don't think he's got the vision anymore. He lucked out. He scored Peyton Manning, and Peyton Manning, you know, brought them a couple championships, but I just don't think John Elway's got the vision anymore.
All right, Chris, if you're listening in, that was Norm. That was not me. So no hate mail this week. Matt, I'm coming over to you. What's your thoughts on the Broncos? They have the most cap space. They've got a lot of areas to improve. What do you foresee as their biggest areas of need?
Yeah, I feel like it'd be hard to get rid of Elway. He's like Mr. Denver Bronco, but Norm's right. That guy, I don't think knows what he's doing. You're absolutely right about wide receivers. Drew Lock needs help. He needs a lot of help with that position. But just a notch ahead of that, I got to say the offensive line. You know, they got some issues up there. I know I've been saying offensive line for everybody, but a lot of the teams that are in the AFC West tend to have weak offensive lines. So that's going to be a need. Other than that, maybe at corner, because I guess Chris Harris Jr., you know, he kind of fell off a little bit. And I don't know, he might possibly need some replacement there. So that's what I got for the Denver Broncos.
And you know what, to be honest with you, I the offensive line is actually a good call. Garrett Bowles, draft pick from 2-3 years ago, he had 17 holding penalties, which was the most in the league last year. So he has been a little bit of a disappointment at tackle, and I'm sure that if they could find somebody to upgrade there, cut down on the sacks and the penalties, that they definitely do that. Ty, give me your final thoughts here on the Broncos. You've heard what we think. What do you think the Broncos need to do in order to hopefully be back in contention next year?
Other than like a few, you know, home hidden names, they need to reset everything other than, you know, Philip Lindsay. I'm trying to think quickly off the top of my head. Receiver Sutton. I agree with Norm with the tight end position. They don't have anybody that really hits home. I really wanted to see Jake Butt get play from Michigan, but he's been injured ever since he got out of college. But and I don't know what's going to happen with Von Miller as well. You know, but everything is, I think they really need a big reset and starting all over, because this team is in a bad situation in the AFC West where you really can't give up too many games. And I don't even know if Drew Lock is the guy right now, even though he's had some success here and there. But I don't know. I think he's still fighting for his position as well out there. So this is all a tough situation for the Denver Broncos.
All right. Well, I appreciate that, Ty. I'm going to come back to you first, Matt. I always appreciate you guys joining me here on the airwaves, here on the Sports City Chefs airwaves. Went over the AFC West tonight. We did talk a little bit about player evaluation and how the NFL doles out punishments. Any final thoughts here, Matt? Anything you want to plug? Feel free to do so now.
Thanks again for having me. Breaking news, Ryan Hughes, it's good to be back with you. Me and Ty did a really solid basketball show. I wanted to bring up Sunday brunch. We did a good one yesterday. Solid, went over that, and also NBA. But thanks for having me, guys. Enjoy your week, and get ready for the NFL draft in a couple months.
And definitely appreciate that, Matt. And for all of you that are listening or downloading this from iTunes at a later time, we definitely appreciate that. Just know that we have a full list of the episodes, so if you do miss them live, you can find those episodes, whether your favorite sports are basketball, football. We do have our Sunday morning brunch, and then we probably have a baseball show here sooner rather than later. But Mr. TP Timeless, I'm going to come over to you. Any final thoughts tonight? Anything you want to plug? Anything you want to shout out?
Yeah, just stay tuned with everything that we got going this week. Matt's been participating more, so you probably hear more of Peachtree's Finest in the kitchen. That'll be interesting. And Norm, welcome to the family. Get more of you, and I think since you won the Super Bowl, Brian's going to give you a little Kansas City district or Kansas City barbecue here in the kitchen. So enjoy yourself, because you usually don't let people get double tabs on their team here. So this is pretty awesome to see him kind of bow out. But Sports City, you already know the slogan, tell a friend, it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
All right, Norm, I'm going to come over to you. I ain't agreeing with anything that TP just said. You know what? I'm still going to rep my team. My boys are still going back next year. But any final thoughts here in the kitchen, man? I really enjoyed the show with you tonight. I really appreciate the participation from the fans, from the other hosts. Any thoughts here from the AFC West show tonight?
Well, the final thought, we kind of you touched base quickly early in the show. We talked about Greg Olsen wanting to be signed before before the real free agency gets kicking. And I like him going to Seattle. I know he went to visit Washington and then Seattle.
Stop
I just
it.
Think I think him in Seattle with Russell Wilson is going to be good. I think he's just a good, hard-nosed, tough fighting player, and that's a good spot for him. I think he lands in Seattle by next week.
The NFL free-for-all will be looking for a host for next week. Unfortunately, not Norm won't be able to join us anymore. All right, buddy. Well, hey, I appreciate it. You know, my final thought is this. I think far too often we look at sports and we hold these, what I'm going to call a kid, as I had my birthday yesterday, and I turned 42. And at this point, I'm somewhat of an old man. When you consider that a lot of these kids' careers are basically between the ages of 22 to maybe 28, 29 if they're lucky. And I can tell you that I'm a far different person now than I was when I was 22. And I'm not saying not to hold people accountable, but I also think that we have to understand that our young men and women will make mistakes. And it's up to us, not only as a society, but I'm saying as the NFL, to help pick these people up as opposed to segregate them and hold them down. So that's all of us. That's all tonight from the NFL Free for All show. Join us next week. We'll be going over the news from the week, and we'll also be tackling the AFC South. So we hope you enjoyed the show. Thank you so much. Have a great night.